Welcome to the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to claim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Today is July 24th, 2017. It is 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. We want to thank you for joining us. I'm going to jump right into this. Our guest this morning is Donna Gilmore. She was on my show in the last month, and I believe that my guest host, who's going to be taking over Fridays, had her on a couple of weeks ago. From the SanOnofreSafety.org site. Donna, thank you for joining us. It's very important that you keep yourself on the air. So I really appreciate you making this time.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. We have some really important things to talk about today that are critical that people take action on this week.
Immediately. Yeah, immediately. Like this, there's no time to waste because it's going to happen this week. So why don't you get into the urgency of what we have to really, we're trying to put a light under people, you know, so that they will make the phone calls. Your phone calls do matter. And this is a very, very, very critical issue for short-term and long-term implications.
What's going on, it's that they're trying to rush through the House. There's Shimkus, he's from Illinois. He's sponsored a bill called H.R. 3053, Nuclear Waste Policy Amendments Act of 2017. And the Democrats and Republicans are supporting this bill. But they don't even understand what's in the bill. They're trying to hide a lot of things that are in this bill. What the bill plans to do is, you know, everybody that has waste, the nuclear waste sitting around, you know, they want it out of their community. Everybody doesn't want to be a nuclear waste dump. But what this bill does is it proposes to take the nuclear waste from across the entire country and move it across the entire country. Now, it's one thing to say you want the waste right where it is. If it's in an unsafe location, you want to move it away from there so it's safer. We have, you know, global warming. We have sea rises. We have flooding. We have various issues. And those need to be addressed. But the solution is not to take the waste and transport it all away from one coast and one side of the country to the other side of the country. That is unnecessary transport risk. We all, you know, both parties admit our infrastructure is a mess. And did you know less than 1%, only about 1% of our rail system looks like I had a alarm here, sorry. Only 1% of our rail system is inspected. Did you know that?
1% of our rail system is inspected?
Yes, by federal inspectors. Yeah.
The rail operators, they're inspecting it, aren't they?
Well, you know, this is you're talking about. Well, let me just give you an idea about that. Of course, they're supposed to inspect their own system. But this will give you an example of what's going on. There was a federal inspector that was going to be inspecting part of the rail system. And the railroad company pushed back. They didn't want it inspected because it meant downtime for them. And that was going to cost them, you know, tons of money, millions of dollars. You know, if you shut a rail down temporarily, you know, that's money. So they actually put pressure on the inspectors to not do inspections. I mean, it's that crazy. And you know, we have rail accidents. We only hear about the ones that, you know, created some major spill or explosion that people can see.
Yeah.
They don't tell you about all the rail accidents. So, no, we have a system that focuses more on profits than safety. And there's always constant pushback from the corporate world to minimize your requirements, minimize anything that's going to cost some money. That's the kind of country
we have right now. Doesn't this bill specifically state that? Like, it overrides health and safety over cost and speed are more important in this bill, H.R. 3053. The cost and safety is more important than the health. Right.
Let me just go over what this bill would do. Okay, it actually takes away our state and local rights to regulate clean water and air in our states. It allows the federal government to take over state rights in these areas, and what this will allow them to do is to put this waste anywhere they want, regardless of it's going to poison your fresh water. You know, I mean, it's just a way for the federal government to do what they want. They could, you know, if here's an odd situation. Well, I don't think I want to go into speculation. We have enough facts that I don't want to speculate. But the bill also eliminates, there are actually safety requirements in the law, in the Nuclear Waste Policy Act, it's the law right now, and they want to eliminate the storage and transport safety requirements. Now, why would they want to do that? The reason they want to do that is because the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has been letting them get away with improving inferior containers for the nuclear waste that can't even be inspected and that the NRC admits can crack and could leak in the short term. And if there's even partial cracks in a canister, they're not, the NRC regulations don't allow you to transport those. So the NRC has set us up. We've got about 2,400 of these canisters right now around the country. That's the primary system that is used, is these thin wall steel canisters. The other countries are smarter than us. They use a different design, thick wall design that doesn't have any of these problems. And so now here we are stuck with all these canisters that may have cracks in them, but nobody knows if they have cracks because they've got no way to inspect them once they're loaded with this lethal spent fuel waste. And so they're trying to get rid of requirements in the law that apply to the Department of Energy so they can get away with taking these canisters, that the current ones that may already have cracks in them, and transporting them across the country. This is an insane bill.
Well, do you want to hear how Bloomberg BNA, they are reporting it as a... they're saying that the bill would authorize they're billing it as a way to deal with our interim storage. It says it would spend at least $50 million annually from 2020 to 22 to fund the first interim storage facility. I think this is being sold as a way to deal with our waste.
Well, of course it is. And that's, yes. And an elected official if they vote against a bill that promises to get the waste out of your community, it's very attractive for elected officials to want to support that, you know, and to try and have messaging that goes against it is tough. But this bill removes congressional oversight and other oversight. It basically lets the Department of Energy and the NRC do whatever they want with no oversight. And this part really gets me. If a facility is built to store the waste, so they're calling it monitored retrievable storage facility, but yet they don't require it to be monitored or retrievable. So they're really, you know, playing with the language here. Once there's an agreement with the DOE and a private company to build one of these somewhere, the local community, no one has any rights to know what's going on, to have any public input, and absolutely no oversight over the DOE and what they're doing. I mean, we might as well be living in Russia with this bill. I mean, this brings us a step towards being a Russian state where we have no rights of the most lethal material, in the world. And they want to hide all this. You know, you have the two companies that benefit from this bill, the two main companies are Holtec and WCS. Those are the main players. They're the ones that they've proposed to build one of these storage facilities in New Mexico and Texas. They're claiming the community wants them, but there's a lot of people in the community that are pushing back. And then the Department of Energy has a pilot proposal for putting one of these facilities in. And guess who wrote their pilot proposal? Holtec.
Wow.
So you have a vendor.
Now, Holtec, for our listeners who don't know who a Holtec is, Holtecs are the people that make that half 3/8-inch thick, is it 5/8-inch thick containers that we store our nuclear waste in that leaks after 20 years?
The majority of the spent nuclear fuel waste, they call them spent fuel assemblies, the majority of it is in 1/2-inch thick stainless steel.
Wow.
Thin wall stainless steel. We at San Onofre, it's 5/8 inch, but that's rare. And, you know, Edison has some illusion that little extra 1/8 inch is going to, you know, somehow magically save us. You know, other countries use 10-inch thick to 19 3/4-inch thick walled containers that can be inspected, maintained, monitored before any, you know, to prevent leaks.
So you're telling us every other country stores their waste in 10 inch to almost 20 inch thick containers. We store ours in 1/2-inch thick containers that we know leak in 20 years.
Right. Yeah. Now Now Holtec is starting to sell his inferior technology to other countries, and he's saying, oh well, you know, this is what the United States uses, you know, and he gives them his, you know, whatever lines he tells them. And so some of them are starting to actually use his product. So what we're doing here is actually starting to affect the rest of the world. And now, one of the things that most people don't know, even people that think that they're familiar with what's going on with nuclear waste, and they've been fighting it for decades, mainly 1/2-inch thick canisters are welded shut, and they're put in these big concrete overpacks, either in a thick wall concrete cast or horizontal mausoleum-looking concrete building, and now a new model is below ground, not totally. But what they don't tell people is all the concrete structures have air vents because this waste is so hot, it has to cool, and they use convection cooling, so they have to put air vents. So if you have a through-wall crack, even a microscopic through-wall crack, that will send radionuclides through the air vents, right out. That thick concrete is not protecting you. And we have the president of Holtec, Dr. Chris Singh, stating at a public Southern California Edison meeting that even a microscopic through-wall crack will release millions of curies of radionuclides into the environment. And it's not, even if you could find them and find a way to repair them, it's not even feasible to do that without introducing another area for cracking. So basically, he's saying these things, when they crack, they need to be replaced. But what's even worse than everything I've said so far is they have no plan. If these things leak, they have no plan to deal with it.
That's what this bill is about. This story, they actually literally say this in the story from Bloomberg that I found. It says, this gives those private storage initiatives financial surety, says John Shimkus, from Republican from Illinois, the lead sponsor. This, listen to how they phrase this. Nuclear waste is currently stored on site at the commercial nuclear power plants that produce it. This bill would allow one interim facility to be built and funded prior to an NRC decision on Yucca Mountain. This is really astounding.
That does not address the problem I just mentioned.
This is how they mix it all up. They're trying to confuse. They're trying to sell this whole thing as it's going to provide us a solution without even addressing the real issue. That's the part.
This bill is for private companies. This bill is for private companies. It is not for us. It is not for the public. It's for private. It takes away the purpose of this bill. Really, the real purpose of this bill is to take away liability. Right now, these utilities, they made the decision to go with these awful containers, and they know they're not going to last. They want to offload these things as soon as they can before something goes wrong, and they want to get rid of all their liability. So this bill, what this means is the DOE supposedly can come pick up the fuel, and as soon as the DOE shows up, they basically take over all liability, which means we, as taxpayers, assume all liability for this mess they created from the point of receiving it, transporting it, and then storing it at another site for an indefinite period of time. So that's really is about. And then it's about a couple of companies like Holtec and WCS and others that are involved in this business. This bill gives them money up front, that Bloomberg money they're talking about. Ideally can sign contracts with these private corporations, put whatever they want in those contracts. No more restrictions on, requirements for the containers or anything like that. They can do whatever they want in those contracts. And then they're going to give those companies money up front to build those facilities before they even consider any transport issues. And the current law says you must consider transport, you must minimize transport risks in wherever you'd site one of these locations. So by eliminating that out of the law, they can take the waste, take all the waste from one side of the country and dump it all on another. And right now with the plans, it's like they want to take everybody's waste across the company and dump it in the Southwest. I mean, it's like they're going to have to call us the Southwest instead of the Southwest, So when you think you're getting rid of some waste from the western states or the coastal states, you're basically just moving everybody else's waste closer to you. And there's no fence in the sky that's going to stop this stuff from going any way the wind blows. And even though the prevailing winds are to the east, the wind blows in every direction. So, you're not going to be safe from this. And each one of these canisters, there's 2,400 now, and, they're planning for 10,000 canisters, maybe more, depending on how long we allow these reactors to run. Each one of these canisters contains as much radioactive lethal cesium-137 and other radionuclides as was released from the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. One can, you got Chernobyl in a can, and you got 2,400 of these, and you're going to take these mobile Chernobyls and run them across our uninspected rail system that already has a history of failure. I mean, how many Chernobyls can we afford in the United States? So this
building, I don't think we can afford any of them. I'm looking at this list on your page, the SanOnofreSafety.org. You have a link that says HR 3053 bill in current status. So I clicked on it. And then on that link, it said co-sponsors. There's 35 co-sponsors.
Right. And I listened into the session. They had three sessions in the Energy and Commerce Commission. I listened to all three sessions.
How is it that this bill, 714 is the date when they co-sponsored it, all of these people that are listed here, 714, 717, and 720. So this is just very recent. How are these people, I mean, there are nine Democrats and 26 Republicans.
That doesn't count the 49 Democrats and Republicans that voted for this in the Energy and Commerce Committee. It had
right.
to get out of the committee to get
right.
there.
Right, that's what this says.
They did not talk about, these are the things they didn't, now they didn't see that they were taking away people's water rights. They're also, taking away water and air rights, but they're doing that in a couple of different places. And one of the assemblymen from California, he caught the fact that they were going to be taking away state water rights. And so Shimkus, the sponsor of the bill, he agreed to amend the bill to not put that new section in that would do that. But then under his and they voted, you know, for the amendment, but you won't see that amendment in the bill at this point. But then under his breath, but still on the microphone, he says, we'll just deal with that later when we have to. So it appears to me that he just is trying to get it out of committee. So this assemblyman from Sacramento, so they've got a facility there. And so she wants to get rid of that out of Sacramento County. And so she proposed a pilot so that they could expedite building one of these facilities before there's any discussion of a permanent repository, you know, or any requirement for any permanent repository. And that passed as an amendment in that committee. But it was a vote to 49-4 supporting this. Not once did they talk about the other places in the bill that are taking away our rights. Not once did they talk about that they're eliminating all the safety requirements for both storage and transport. Not once did they talk about they're eliminating a site environmental evaluation before they pick a site. Those things did not get discussed in those sessions. They call them sessions and not hearings. So I don't even think they know a lot of this bill was 75 pages long, and it was written very sneaky what they would do. You can't just read the 75 pages and know what they're doing. For example, it'll say near the beginning of the bill, must comply with section such and such of the bill, of the law. Okay, must apply with this section. But they don't tell you that later on they're redefining what that section means. So you don't even know what that amendment means until you go further down and see that they changed it. Then you have to go up and figure out, you know, what they're anyway, all over the place. They're doing sneaky stuff like that. So this bill, it removes congressional oversight, other oversight. The NRC has to approve the containers, and they have to approve the site. But they don't have to consider any transport issues or other issues. The NRC has not been doing a good job. The NRC has been approving containers for an initial 20 years and ignoring whether or not they can be inspected. So we can't count on the NRC to do their job. And the bill's authors, that was their pushback to me. Oh, well, we don't need these laws in there. We trust the NRC to know what they're doing. You know, that's their pushback on eliminating all the safety issues in the bill, which is total it doesn't even make sense, because there's things that the DOE is supposed to do that is not even the job of the NRC in terms of finding an appropriate site and various other things. Southern California Edison, they plan here, I'll just give you some local perspective here. They're planning to store about 100 spent nuclear fuel canisters right at the beach, about 100 feet or so from the water. And the community obviously does not want that. You know, it's an insane plan. And so we've got a lot of, initially there was a lot of pressure to support any bill that was going to not do that. And the only thing that Edison would agree to do is one of these consolidated energy storage bills. They weren't going to consider even moving the waste to higher ground. And they have a lot of power and influence in this state. When I'm able to explain to local citizens that this bill is more than just about taking waste, it's eliminating safety standards, taking away your water rights, taking away all oversight, all access to information. I mean, can you imagine the DOE coming to town? Well, maybe some of you already have that situation with the defense waste. They come to town, they do whatever they want, they pollute your river, and there's not a darn thing you can do about it. You know, you can at least see some things that are going on, for example, Hanford. But now with this bill, for the commercial waste, you won't even be able to know anything. So let's say they had some kind of an explosion or there was a radiation leak. They don't have to tell you anything.
They don't have to warn us if there's radioactive contamination in the air.
They don't have to tell you, you know, this bill, whatever happens at that plant, they don't have to tell you. Okay.
To tell us? I mean, does this just eliminate their need to tell us at all in this bill 3053?
Well, all I know is it's federal preemption of not just state regulations, but other federal regulations.
So what does that mean, other?
If you have a state, right now there's a federal law to protect your water rights.
Right.
This bill preempts that. This bill supersedes that. This bill supersedes that.
So like the Clean Water Act, bye-bye.
Yes. And here's how they justify that. Well, whatever we do will be for the greater good, so it's more important than all the other laws. And that assumption is still. Therefore, you know, they can do what they want, and they can ignore all other federal and state laws. Yeah. We're on our way to becoming Russia here, you know. You know, we're going to have these Chernobyl cans exploding and no rights. And take away all our rights to do anything to stop it. I mean, this was started before Trump, so you can't blame it all on Trump. And you've got Democrats and Republicans.
There's nine right now. There are nine, and the number grew over the last few days. I mean,
They're out there.
Lacey Clay from St. Louis, that has his own nuclear burning dump site in his own district, signed on to this. And my guess is, from reading this article on Bloomberg, is it's being sold as a way to push through a repository station because everybody wants state.
Let me give you what's really going on in regards to the repository. Okay, let me explain that. This bill eliminates the requirement for a repository. I mean, in essence, it does, because here's right now in the law, you cannot build an interim site, what they called it, monitored retrievable site or consolidated interim storage site. You cannot build a site until you have a permanent repository. Okay, or you have one being built or approved. I forget the exact wording. So there's a direct link right now. no interim, because interim, because of the fear, interim will just become permanent. They're removing that link by saying, well, the NRC has 18 months to make a decision on a permanent repository. And let's see, 18 and then another 12 if they get an extension. So that would be 30 months. And whatever the decision is, you can move forward with interim storage, whether it's a yay or nay on a permanent repository. So it actually breaks the link. It does make them easier to start building, go back to building a facility at Yucca, because it takes away the state's water rights, one of the things they're using to stop this plan.
The minor detail.
Exactly.
I mean, it's laughable, but this is really serious. People need to understand. Like, we have representatives, many people that listen to this radio show, they're representatives, like Gene Green of Texas. I know we have Texas people. I know we have people from Hawaii and California. Doris Matsui, she's signed on to this. She's a pretty hardcore Democrat. She signed on to this.
She's the one that proposed the amendment to let them start a pilot as soon as this law gets passed and not wait for any NRDC decision about anything.
Oh my gosh! What are these? Yeah. What is their thinking?
They do not know. I mean, they do not know about the problems of these canisters. They have no clue. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? You had Obama put together a blue ribbon commission. I'm sure his intentions were good. What should we do with this waste now that Yucca Mountain doesn't appear to be happening, and who knows when there will be any kind of permanent repository, but we need to do something. So he put together a Blue Ribbon Commission. I've spoken to a number of those key people on that commission, including the former chairman of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the people leading the efforts for the DOE pilots. They didn't know these canisters couldn't be inspected. They had no clue. The NRC didn't tell them. The NRC management is even hiding this from their own bosses, from their own commissioners. I mean, if I have to, I'm a retired systems analyst, a retired IT manager. That's what I did for a living. I managed IT shops. And I designed large mission critical systems that had to work, or there would be 24/7, or there would be major consequences. So I'm used to, you know, dealing with that type of thing, but not nuclear. Nuclear is a whole new ballgame for me. This is a material engineering issue. This is a corrosion issue. And I work with material engineers. I work with nuclear physicists now. And they all had no idea. The material engineers I've met with, a couple of them worked on Yucca. To come up with container designs and materials that would work in that environment. They had no idea that the United States was using thin wall stainless steel to hold this waste. They said, that's insane. You know, I mean, so they managed to hide this really well. And the only reason I know about it is because I listened in to an NRC technical meeting where they were talking about the problems with these canisters. Otherwise, and so I've been actually educating all our safety advocates that the anti-nuclear community uses. I mean, I've been educating both sides about this. Now, the utilities know this. The utilities that have these, they know they can't inspect these things, you know, and they know they could crack. The utilities know.
Why do they continue? If they know, Vandana, I mean, do they not get it that their families are going to be affected also?
Here's what I have learned. I mean, I've dealt with, you know, all the way up the chain with these people. They're either in love with money and or nuclear energy. You know, or both. And if you've ever been in love with the wrong person, or have a friend that's been wrong with the wrong person, and you try and tell them anything, how well does that work? They just get mad at you if you try to tell them this person's no good for you. You know, that's exactly, these people are in love with nuclear energy, or they are blinded by the money they're making, and they can rationalize and say, oh, everything's overbuilt. We don't have to worry about it. Oh, you know, nothing's going to happen. They rationalize in their head. Everything's fine. Just like you would if you're in love with the wrong person, you rationalize somehow how that's going to be okay, the flaws. And this is, it's a brain defect, as far as I'm concerned, with the human race. And, you know, so it's hitting that part of the brain that's not dealing with logic.
Wow.
And this is what they do. And then if you want to get a promotion at the NRC, you better be nice to the nuclear industry or your career is going nowhere. And if you speak out, if you work for the NRC and you speak the truth, you could lose your job and get blackballed in your career field. I mean, the NRC admits they have what they call a safety culture problem. Employees are afraid to speak out for fear of retaliation. So I've met some of these people and read about others. And so I had always thought that the federal government was doing the job of watching these private companies to make sure it was as safe as possible, and that no private company would be crazy enough not to have a lot of redundancies and not reward people for finding safety problems. Man, I was so wrong. I had no idea. You know, basically, it's up to us because the NRC is dysfunctional. They have some good workers there. They have good people. They have smart people at the working level that know, but they don't go over the heads of their bosses. Now, there are things that you can read and learn about what's going wrong, but, you know, who's going to take the time to read a bunch of Nuclear Regulatory Commission technical documents or listen into technical meetings where they talk about all the problems? You know, I seem to be one of the only people that do that. Yeah. So we need to get this information. I mean, I'm getting the information. We just need to share it with everything else. I would say, in summary on this bill, it eliminates state and local water rights and air rights. It eliminates federal water rights and other rights. Eliminates site-specific environmental reviews. It eliminates transparency and congressional, state, and local and public oversight of these facilities. It eliminates authorizations currently required by Congress and other checks and balances. And once the DOE signs, they call these MRS agreements, for a nuclear waste facility, the state and public have absolutely no oversight, input, or even access to information about the facility.
So they don't even have to tell us anything. We're not on a need-to-know basis. We just don't need to know.
Exactly. You know, this had to have been written by one of the, you know, by industry people, because this is exactly what they want. Just give us your money up front and go away and let us do whatever we want. That's what this does. Even if the fuel never shows up at the facility, they still get their money. They can build it. The NRC will approve a facility, even though they have no idea how the waste is ever going to get there. And they separate approving a facility from approving transport containers. They disconnect the parts. So they could build this facility, get NRC approval, get all their money, even if the waste never gets there.
Now, Donna, let me ask you this. I want to ask you about these, for us, if we're going to be calling these representatives, do you think it's worth our effort to call the people who have co-sponsored it and say, hey, I think you're looking at this the wrong way, and maybe even fax them your little spreadsheet that talks about the summation? Do you think that might move them? Do you think it's worth the while to push back against?
Definitely. We have no choice but to do that. You don't just, I mean, the thing is, you want to give them, credible information about this. I'm working on a new version of what I have on my website, and hopefully we'll have this finished today. Trying to make this document shorter is a is a challenge. So probably by the end of the day, I'll have something better out there than what I have now. But what I have now does cover all the points. It would just be a way to message it.
Now, have we seen the amended one that does reinstate water rights to the federal government? Have we seen that language yet?
Yes. Okay. There's two sections in the bill that takes away your water rights. And they are only, number one, they're only addressing the new section they added to take away water rights, not the ones they're revising. So it won't even do it. And then Shimkus under his breath said, oh, well, we'll deal with that later. Okay. Wow. So they just wanted to get it out. Well, I don't know if everybody realizes, but they can, up until the last minute, they can propose amendments to this bill up to the last minute. So you think you're voting for one thing, and then they change language. And this thing is super complicated. It's 75 pages of language that they purposely made impossible to understand. So an amendment to this bill can affect all kinds of sections. They can modify one section, and that section could be referenced all throughout the bill, and have implications. It took me over 2 days to just figure out what the heck they were doing. It's
so unconscionable that they're making these big grand scale sweeping changes and selling it as a way. This is my take on how they're selling it is, finally, we're going to start creating nuclear waste repositories, whether it's in Texas or in Yucca Mountain, that finally we get to, move forward. We're going to take away government restrictions so that we can deal. This is kind of how my summation of how I read what they're selling it as when I'm reading articles is we're taking away these over-restrictive regulations on nuclear waste so we can finally begin to build repositories for them.
Yeah, there's also no money actually in there. We all we all contributed to the nuclear waste fund in our ratepayers. So a certain percent of our ratepayer money that we paid went to the federal government in the nuclear waste fund. Well, I forget how much it was, trillions of dollars or something. I don't remember the exact amount that was in there. You have too many zeros and I lose count. They actually years ago took that money out of the fund and used it to help pay down the deficit. The money isn't even there. So when they talk about spending millions of dollars from the nuclear waste fund, there is no money. So they're going to need to have an allocation. This bill gives them money right up front without an allocation. But from then on, if the DOE needs more money to maintain the facility.
So wait a minute. Do you mind what do you mean that there's no money in the fund? We've been paying for that.
They spent the money on something else. They changed the law so that they could spend the money on something else.
And then they borrowed it out.
No, they did not borrow it. They took it. Now, with our Social Security fund, they've been borrowing it, so they owe it back. Okay. But with this nuclear waste fund, they didn't borrow it. They just took it for something else, and there's nothing in the law that says they have to pay it back.
Wow.
Yeah, people don't know that.
So we get to double pay, in other words.
Yes, more than double paying. And, and this money was not the nuclear waste fund. Was only for the permanent repository. There has never been any money collected, at least under federal law, for temporary storage, interim storage. Nothing.
Well, the other thing that this article didn't talk about was the reason that the waste is stored on site now is because our only storage facility, the WIP, blew apart in 2014, and they've never fixed it.
No, that's not true. The WIP facility was never for the spent nuclear fuel at the nuclear plant.
I thought that's where it went.
No. There's low level defense waste at WIP. thing, you know, in the defense, when they're making bombs and everything, they have a lot of things that get contaminated, and they produce a lot of, plutonium and other things on gloves. Anyway, all kinds of, they call it transuranic waste. And it was specifically only approved for that.
Wow. So this is how complicated this gets, because this is where my head's been kind of twisted on this. I really appreciate you clarifying that for me. So WIP does not have anything to do with the nuclear power facilities. Where have they been storing their waste? Because after WIP, I read an article. This is where I kind of got confused. When the WIP facility fell apart, the NRC issued a statement that said all the nuclear waste is going to stay at the nuclear power plants. I thought those two events were connected.
No, not really. I mean, there was some talk of maybe eventually putting other waste there, even defense spent fuel waste. But no. Here's the pattern. Okay. The permanent repository for this type of waste, the spent nuclear fuel from the reactors, the fuel, you know, the uranium pellets that emit irradiated. The plan was Congress basically forced the DOE to only consider Nevada Yucca Mountain, period. Initially, they were supposed to consider sites on both the east and west side of the country. So you know, really, DOE's really been put in a bad position. Because the Congress tells them what site they have to pick, and then they have to try and make it work, even if it's a bad site. And then they don't give them enough money to do it right. And Yucca Mountain was picked, you know, that was more political reasons than technical reasons. And so there's problems with water issues and other technical issues that make that a bad site. And plus the fuel we use now, it's called hibernate fuel. It burns twice as long in the reactor, but is over twice as hot thermally and over twice as radioactive and unstable in storage and transport. In fact, I want to digress so I don't forget this point. They're all saying, the NRC, the DOE, the utilities, they're all saying these containers are so big and heavy, they're going to have to be transported by rail as opposed to, you know, on trucks. And the NRC is still studying whether just the normal vibration of trains will be enough for the fuel to fail and go critical because of this hibernate fuel. The hibernate fuel causes the uranium pellets are in rods. The rods are made out of a zirconium alloy called the cladding. And burning that fuel twice as long is causing the cladding to become brittle. And there's a nuclear physicist, Marvin Reznikoff, says in an accident, that brittle cladding will shatter like glass. And now the NRC is wondering, will just the normal vibrations of the train causes cladding that's become brittle from hibernate use cause it to shatter, and then it can go critical, which means we're going to have these Chernobyls go off. So they're still here. So they're trying to pass a law. They're in the law. They're bypassing all transport issues. They're not evaluating. They took out the part that said evaluate alternatives, consider environmental site reviews, you know, evaluate the safest routes, evaluated we should do. All the normal alternative analysis and studies that you do before you make a decision and make a recommendation. This is what I've done all my life in systems analysis, looking at alternatives and choosing the best one. You know, they're eliminating all that from the Nuclear Waste Policy Act. And one of my biggest concerns is I watch the way defense waste is being handled. Right now, all the defense waste is under the responsibility of the Department of Energy. And the Department of Energy is at the mercy of Congress to get enough money to stop leaks. They never give them enough money. And so they end up buying inferior containers that cost less and hope they don't leak. And then they leak. And then they don't get enough money to clean up. You have the tunnel explosion at Hanford, and they knew that was the problem, but they didn't have the money to deal with it. you know, and now we're going to be in the same boat. They want to take, you know, they'll either take this, try and take this waste and put it somewhere else, if that even succeeds, or because they probably can't even move it, it'll stay right where it is. Potentially, and they haven't said this, but potentially, you know, the DOE could make an agreement with a utility. I don't see anything in this bill that would stop that. That they can make an agreement with a utility that's sitting there with waste and make that an interim storage facility. I don't see anything that, in this law that would stop it. They haven't said they're going to do that. But then here we are. We'd be at the mercy of the DOE to try and get money out of Congress to keep this waste maintained.
Well, then at the end, we also run into that whole issue about the nuclear industry has no real oversight. Like the Price-Anderson Act, they can pretty much do what they want. Like even this bill, doesn't this bill allow them to pay a one-time fee to limit their risk, their costs?
Yeah, they pay it. Well, yes, when they turn this over to the DOE, when they turn over the liability to the DOE. I mean, they turn over all liability to the, they are totally absolved from any liability, period, once the DOE, you know, takes over this waste and signs a contract. Yeah, their liability is all gone. And that's really what they're pushing for. So they make a lot of money. So the private companies make a lot of money up front that build these facilities. And then the existing utilities that created this mess get off scot-free. That's what this bill is about. The bill is about these corporations. It's not for us. It's for them. Mm-hmm. And these elected officials signing it don't even know these things. So I do have a document on sanofresafety.org, right on the homepage. It contains all these points, or most of these points. So, it's available to share.
It's an easy link. It's right on your front page, and it says, Reasons Elected Officials Should Oppose H.R. 3053 NWPA Amendment. And you just click on that, and it pops up, and it is very, very clear. Now, the only thing that they might say is they've reinstated their federal water rights, but everything else is correct on there, right? Like, that's the only thing they negotiated out of.
Well, see, but here's the thing. They took away water rights in two places. And that amendment that they just did to the bill, that only took out the new section they were putting in to take away water rights. There's another section that assemblyman didn't pick on that's in there. So it's even with that amendment, it still takes away water rights because there's another section that takes away the water rights. They just didn't catch that. I just happened to catch it. So.
Oh, wow. Wow. This is just completely stunning, Donna. The biggest thing is that this is being sold. Like there's, you know, but there, this list of co-sponsors is kind of stunning because these are people that have been publicly speaking out and very concerned about nuclear waste. They must believe that this Amendment Act basically is going to help provide an answer for the long-term waste.
We need to, people need to talk to all of your elect, whether you're talking to local, state, or federal, or the governor's office, any kind of connections you have. This information needs to get to them. There is no reason to rush into this. I mean, Shimkus is trying to get this through this week before people find out what they're really doing, that they're really trying to gut our democracy with this bill and allow unsafe storage of this waste. Unless the people in every state and then share this information, share the link with other people, because everybody needs to be, you know, calling their offices, telling them. Now, see, everybody wants the waste out, but this bill doesn't do that. It does the opposite. This bill will not solve the waste you have in your state. It doesn't do that at all. It does the opposite. It pays out money to corporations and doesn't give us what we want. So I would say for those people that want the waste out of here, do they realize that they're signing up for a bill that's going to take nuclear waste, thousands of containers or canisters of nuclear waste, transport it across the entire country? Is that what they want? The waste to be this lethal waste that's not even safe to move, to transport across the entire country? That's what this bill supposed to do, and then takes away your democratic rights, the things that makes us a democracy, bypasses basic environmental rights. It's going to affect your water and air and health, and you could basically blow up your communities. I mean, it sounds terrible. It sounds outlandish, but unfortunately, that's the reality of this bill.
It's true. And this is the other part of this is we cannot undo this. Like, I mean, even if this bill were to say get passed and then reversed in 2 or 3 years because it's such a disaster, if a disaster happens, we can't undo the disaster. If they're transporting a container, say, from Pennsylvania, and they want to transport it to Texas, and it has a major accident along the road, that entire community and everything south of it near the Mississippi it's over with. I mean, this is the most toxic contaminant that's ever been invented, for real.
Yeah, and there's no fence in the sky. I mean, remember, one can is a Chernobyl accident. I don't want to use the term accident because they could have prevented that. You know, one Chernobyl. I mean, even though that was in the Ukraine, in Russia, where the Chernobyl happened, they still can't eat reindeer in Finland. I mean, this contaminates, permanently contaminates broad, you know, you're talking permanent evacuation, you're talking leaving your homes, your careers, your community permanently. You just have to get up and leave. Or if you stay, then you risk health, major health risks, depending on what the level of contamination is. And the thing is, if it, you know, this goes across the country into our, you know, it fails in our water supplies. Your drinking water becomes undrinkable, and it's not something they can filter out. You know, this is much worse than Flint, Michigan.
Yeah.
So this is I am not aware of any of these thin wall canisters that have leaked yet. I'm not aware of any that have leaked. So I don't want people thinking they're already leaking. Okay. This is a fairly new technology they started using. In Europe, they use thick wall casts that have been in use for over 40 years. And they can inspect those so they know that they're doing well. Here, we have these ticking time bombs and the fuse is lit. These things have cracks in them. Once a crack gets in stainless steel, it has a unique properties. It cracks grow on their own all the way through the wall. And it's undetected. So most of these containers have been in use about 10 years. Some are starting to hit the 20-year mark. The NRC says once a crack starts, they don't know for sure when a crack's going to start, and they can't see them, so they don't know if they're there. But once a crack starts, it takes about 16 years for the crack to go through the wall of the container. So we're just starting to get to the point where some of these can then start leaking. And so it's total, you know, luck of the draw. So we're reaching a critical standpoint, and this bill is going to do the opposite. Instead of transporting waste across the country and what are possibly already starting to crack canisters, they should be solving and making sure that waste is stored in containers that can be inspected, maintained, monitored, and repaired to prevent leaks. Not just catch leaks afterwards, because then it's too late. So this is an urgent problem that they're totally ignoring in this bill. Totally ignoring.
Yeah.
They don't even know the problem's there. So
we have 30 seconds left. I want to thank you for joining us. And I really do want to urge all of our listeners to contact your elected officials, especially at the House of Representatives. Tell them that this bill is a disaster. HR 3053 needs to be voted no, unequivocally. Put your courage feet on. Take action. Please go to Donna Gilmore's page, SantaOnofreeSafety.org. We really appreciate your action and your time. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Thanks, Donna.